So here we find ourselves at the cross. Here we find ourselves at a place where hope runs rampant and grace is made possible. And so tonight, we're going to gather together and we are going to celebrate communion. In a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to take it, and I want you to take it individually by yourself. If you came with a friend or a family member and you want to do it as a small group, you feel free to do that as well. But we're going to give you a moment just to be silent, to remember what Christ has done for you on the cross. And as you soak that goodness in, there's some more goodness I want you to soak in too. Because I want to give you an opportunity to think and meditate, not just on the goodness that comes to you as a result of Christ's death on the cross, but in the goodness that you get to share with others. You see, I firmly believe that the goodness of Good Friday is not just bound up in what has been done for you by Christ's death on the cross, but what he continues to do through you. Ponder that for a moment. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his buddies. And it was a foretelling of what was going to happen. And he broke the bread and he said, "Take this, eat, and remember me." And then he poured the wine and said, "Take this and drink in remembrance of me." It was a foreshadowing of what was to come today, what we celebrate as Good Friday and Christ's death on the cross. So remember the goodness of Good Friday as you partake in the elements, and remember that Christ continued to work through you. Friends, they go together and they cannot be separated. So around the room, you'll see some tables. Feel free to get up at your own leisure. Walk over there by yourself. Walk over there with your family, with your children, with your loved ones, with your friends, and take the elements. You can walk to the side of the room and take communion together off to the side. You can come back to your chair and you can take it here in your seats. And then after a while, I'll come back up and I'll conclude our portion of communion. Okay, friends? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this moment to remember your death on the cross. Lord, we are filled with gratitude because of your outstretched arms and the thorn of crowns that you wore. You paid the price for our sins. And we accept that, we acknowledge that, and we work with you to share the world the good news that is possible because of Good Friday. Amen. Go ahead and pass your cups to the aisles. My friends are going to come down and collect those for you. And while you do that, let me ask you a question. What's so good about Good Friday? What's so good about Good Friday? Have you thought about that question before? What is so good about Good Friday? A day we set aside to remember death. A day we set aside to remember Christ's blood on the cross. And we call it good. Around the world, it's referred to as Holy Friday or Mourning Friday. In Germany, it's referred to as Sorrowful Friday. In Denmark, it's referred to as Long Friday. A very fitting name, given that Christ's day started with his beatings in the morning and ended with his death on the cross at sunset. It was a long day. The church has long celebrated Good Friday with mourning and fasting and prayer. And yet we still call it Good Friday. In Rome, the Pope leads people through a procession of the cross, through 14 stages of the cross, an agonizing death that Christ experienced. And yet, we still call it good. I can't think of a more excruciating way to die than by death on a cross. Friends, what is so good about Good Friday? Watch this with me.
Good Friday. How can one describe such a day? The wrongdoing of all humanity putting to an end an innocent man, the Son of God. This is the story of Jesus' death by way of a cross, all in one moment bringing death to the bright light of our future. He never stopped loving us, and yet this is the incredible part of it. Our sin stopped his heart. Our sin drove the nails firmly in the hands of God. All along, these were the plans. We told ourselves that we were in control, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. The brutal beating, the inhuman flogging, the naked humiliation. Heaven watched and saw it all. Our rebellion, our guilt, our shame, erasing the very notion of reconciling us with God. Our sin and our debt, overcoming Jesus. Here is our King, obliterated. The enemy laughing, his plans unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of freedom rising. Now God's people are utterly broken. Behold the chains of mortality. Yes, this is what is true. We had heard the stories of old. The lost are found, the blind can see, the weak are made strong. But now, we are witnesses to this reality. God is dead. we'd almost believed there is a way of redemption. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a peace beyond understanding. Now we know better. For us, we can say that God is encapsulated in this one realization. The single greatest sacrifice in human history is finished. How clearly we can see it. So what's so good about Good Friday? Just one thing, that the blood of Jesus can reverse the curse of sin and raise the dead to life. How clearly we can see it is finished. The single greatest sacrifice in human history encapsulated in this one realization. We can say that God is for us. Now we know better. There is a peace beyond understanding. There is a life of fulfillment. There is a way of redemption. We had almost believed God is dead, but now we are witnesses to this reality. The weak are made strong. The blind can see. The lost are found. We had heard the stories of old. Yes, this is what is true. The chains of mortality utterly broken. Behold, freedom rising. Now God's people are unstoppable. There's no longer the sound of the enemy laughing. His plans obliterated. Here is our King, Jesus, overcoming our sin and our debt, reconciling us with God, erasing the very notion of our rebellion, our guilt, our shame. Heaven watched and saw it all, the naked humiliation, the inhuman flogging, the brutal beating, and this was deemed sufficient for all of us. We told ourselves that we were in control. All along, these were the plans firmly in the hands of God. Our sin drove the nails, our sin stopped his heart, and yet this is the incredible part of it. He never stopped loving us. The bright light of our future all in one moment, bringing death to death by way of a cross. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, an innocent man putting to an end the wrongdoing of all humanity. How can one describe such a day? Good Friday.
It's good, isn't it? I mean, it's good, isn't it? Good Friday makes the good news possible. Without death, there is no risen Savior named Jesus. He died on the cross sinless and rose again. Good Friday is connected to the good news and the life that comes through Jesus, because he defeated death. You want to know why Good Friday is so good, friends? It's because it's connected to the good news. It's because it is connected to the good news. Christ's suffering is no longer hidden. It has become a spectacle, a spectacular cause for happiness. This is the good news. In the end, life conquers death. Joy triumphs over suffering. Happiness and sorrow have the last words, friends. And that happiness and joy last for eternity. That is the good news. Death has been defeated. It no longer reigns. And that is what is so good about Good Friday. But friends, there's more. There's more goodness to the Good Friday. I told you earlier as you were taking communion to think about and meditate on the reality that the cross is not just for your own self and well-being. It is for the well-being of your friends and family around you as well. that there is a second layer to the goodness of Good Friday. A layer, and is this goodness that we can participate in as redeemed individuals who have been loved by God. And we love because he first loved us. And he lovingly went to the cross to bear our sins. And our response to that love is to love others and to share the goodness of Good Friday to those in our midst. 1 Corinthians 15:58 is not your typical Good Friday passage. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord and know that your labor is not in vain. Chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians is a marvelous book, a marvelous chapter on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul eloquently lays out this foundation and this argument for a bodily death and a bodily resurrection, the cornerstone of our faith and our belief. And without it, everything else crumbles. And one might think that the climax of that argument, of those verses, comes in verse 55, where he says, "Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Praise be to God through Jesus Christ." And we could say amen and hallelujah to that. But friends, Paul doesn't stop there. He uses this magical word that draws us in. He says, therefore. And whenever you hear that word, therefore, you have to ask yourself, why is it therefore? What is it therefore? He's connecting his thought. He is connecting 57 verses of articulate discourse about the centrality of the cross and Christ's death and resurrection. And he spends 57 verses talking about it, and he says in one verse how to apply it. They are connected. Friends, 58 is the climax to his argument about this death and resurrection. And he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, always give yourself to the Lord. Be about his business and know that your labor is not in vain. Good Friday is good because of the good news that is made possible through Christ's death on the cross. But Good Friday is good because you and I get to share that good. The goodness of Good Friday is we get to share the good news that is made possible. Therefore, always be about the Lord's business. Work for the Lord and know that your labor is not in vain. And friends, I want to draw your attention to that last little part where he says your labor is not in vain. Our work for the Lord is not in vain. We are not oiling a machine and fixing the wheels to see it roll off the cliff and explode. We are not restoring a painting only to see it get burned up in a fire. We are not planting a rose garden and beautifying an area only to see it get scooped up and replaced by a skyrise. Friends, our work is not in vain. Every act of worship, of song, of prayer, of meditation is being used and is purposeful. If you are a parent or a grandparent, your time with your children, as you hug them, as you care for them, as you pray for them, as you feed them, as you discipline them, as you encourage them, everything you do for your child or your grandchild, our Father in heaven sees it, and he knows that you are working. You are not working in vain, and he is using those moments through your hands and through your touch to shape and mold them into Christ's image. Friends, our work is not in vain. Every act of drama or song generated through the power of the Holy Spirit and expressing God's goodness has a purpose and has a meaning. Our work is not in vain. If you work in the office, your encouragement to your coworkers, to your boss, it is not in vain. Every act is being used by God. Every word that pursues holiness in the church and builds it up and edifies it instead of bringing corruption is being used. Your work is not in vain. Have I covered enough for you to make the point? If you're thinking, well, he forgot, that too is not in vain. And God is using it. He is using you. And friends, that is the goodness of Good Friday. The goodness of Good Friday is not just bound up in what has been done for you, but what he is doing through you. Good Friday ushers in the good news that we get to share. So share the good news. Let me say that again. Good Friday ushers in the good news that we get to share. So share the good. Be about the Lord's business. Be about pursuing him and know that your labor is not in vain. That is the good news. And that will create a lasting impact of one that lasts for eternity. Because that happiness and joy that is bound up in Christ and what he has done for us has eternal significance. Everything else is just temporary. The Good Friday ushers in the good news that we get to share, so share the good. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your death on the cross, for the price that you paid. And we thank you for what that means to us, that we can gather at the foot of the cross and establish hope. And that we get to share that hope and we get to share that news that you are using us in the lives of our friends and our families around us. And we get to share that news. And it's all because of what you've done for us on the cross. Heavenly Father, may we never separate them and always link them together. Because it's been like that from the beginning. And it's been like that because that's the way you planned it and ordained it to be. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.